Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Jake's 2-for-2 tonight, including a stolen base, a couple of singles for Myers. Sends this ball to right, and again, they're going to challenge Walker. This one's going to fall in. Jeremy's going to be held up, and he's running right through the stop sign, and he is safe. He ran right through the stop sign of Tony Parascica, took a chance and scored the first run of the game.
A lot going on there. Jake with his third hit of the game, dropping that one in front of Jordan Baker, and TK is exactly right. We both sat from our vantage point and watched Jeremy Pena put his head down and run right through Parascica's stop sign.
What my question is, what is Parascica doing there? What are you doing? He's a brand new third base coach, at least for the Astros he is. It's been Gary Pettis for years, so they've got Parascica now. And I haven't really noticed much yet this year, Seth, whether he's a factor in terms of his aggressiveness or lack thereof as a third base coach, because frankly, the Astros have not gotten many guys on second rounding third this year. They don't score a lot of runs. Boy, what a red flag that is last night, that you're giving Jeremy Pena, arguably your fastest player, in a nothing-nothing game that you're kind of on the back end of. You know, that was I think the fifth or sixth inning right there. And that you're giving him the stop sign on a softly hit base hit to right field, and you're not challenging an accurate throw to the plate, it's a little disturbing. I'm not going to make a red flag out of one stop sign in a game, like a huge red flag. But when I heard Callis say Pena's running through the stop sign, I'm like, why is somebody holding Pena of all people? If it was Yordan, or if it was this version of Altuve, you know, who's not as fast as he used to be. This is your fastest guy. You've got to. It all worked out. Jeremy Pena was right. I'm glad Pena had the mental fortitude to run through that stop sign.
There's a long history going back to 2013 of the Astros running very aggressively. And for 2 years, we thought Gary Pettis was out of control and he's a madman. And then when things started, or whenever Gary Pettis first got there, and then all of a sudden, once the Astros offense took off, it was brilliant, and it was everything that everybody ever wanted, was aggressive base run. Yeah. You bank on, more times than not, the throw home is not on time or it's inaccurate. Yeah. And if it's close at all, you go. Especially when it's 0-0. And in that game, twice you had the bases loaded. And in the second inning, Dubon flied out. And then in the fourth inning, Altuve flied out with the bases loaded. Get this run.
Yeah.
Come hell or high water, get this run. And Jeremy Pena did the right thing. The other part about that, man, that Altuve pop out, the really frustrating thing about all of that was that Fetty, the pitcher, gave the illusion of walking Mauricio Dubon to get to Altuve. Just didn't have control, couldn't throw strikes. Dubon took a walk on a 3-2 count. Really good by him. Very good, impressive by Dubon. And then Altuve gets up and flies out, and it was that kind of night. They were doing what they have been doing as of late. They're not hitting with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, it's nothing new. But especially with the bottom third of the order up, like, you've got your 8 and 9 hole hitters coming. You have your fastest guy on second.
Yeah.
And Jake Myers gets, and you know what? let me pause right here. Kudos to Jake Myers, 3 for 3 or 3 for 4 last night. He got out his last time. Probably 3 for 4. He's probably batting in the 290s now with an OPS of like 591. Because they're all singles.
You know, I mean, that single that brought Pena home was a pop up that Jordan Walker had just made a great play.
Yeah.
The play the on Yiner, the at bat before. But yeah, that was, it wasn't like it was a great hit or anything.
No.
That was like that was a perfect illustration of how they had to score last night. Myers doesn't make great contact, just pops up, but Jordan Walker can't get to it, and just Pena, aggressive as hell, gets home.
Well, and maybe the perfect illustration of Jake Myers not being a complete zero offensively anymore. You know, if he's that was the, you know, the thing for Myers last year is when he would come up, you're like, okay, well, he's going to strike out. At least now, I mean, his batting average is decent. His OPS is still very pedestrian, but at least he's making things happen. He's a little like Pena, where at least if he puts the ball in play, he's got enough shake on the base paths to make things happen. So, so that was good. They were able to manufacture a lot of people texting in. Oh no, Sean, this guy's been bad. Talking about Parrish Chica, saying thank you, Sean. Finally, someone noticed the third base coach is not good. Follow-up text. He's done that a couple times this year. Twice he's done it to Cam Smith, where he's held Cam Smith up at third. Yeah. Boy, they got some.
This weekend there was a chance where Cam Smith probably could have tagged up and didn't. And this is not Astros baseball.
This is
a divergence from what made them great.
A third base coach did, this is a text, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, did that in an extra inning game this weekend where Cam was on third and there was a pop-up to right field and he didn't send him. It almost cost them the game.
Yeah. It was it's been curious. It's been weird. You know what? Sometimes this reminds me of the way I'll talk about this with D'Amico's defense sometimes, because D'Amico wants his defensive linemen just going and getting upfield, and it's not as – you don't have to play as conservatively as in a lot of systems. But sometimes for a defensive lineman, you hear that and you think, oh – that's fun. I get to play free and loose, but it takes a long time to break yourself out of the training. There's a little voice in the back of your head that says you're going to get your hand slapped with a ruler if you don't play read and react and just go. And Parrish Chica maybe just, he doesn't fully understand how aggressive he can be at third base there. Listen, man, we don't care.
No.
We've been, this fan base and this organization has had great success being extremely aggressive from third base.
All right, this texter is kind of defending Parrish Chica, I think. From the type of hit from Myers, and it was, as you point out, it was shallow.
It was shallow.
Pena, saying Pena probably initially had to hold momentarily. If Pena was off on the crack of the bat, then it was honestly poor base running by Pena. Okay, I don't know who you're sticking up for there, texter, but whatever. All I know is if you're the third base coach, you see where the ball is. You know it's Jeremy Pena. You see where he is relative to third base and, by proxy, home plate. You got to be aggressive there. You got to look at the nature of the game, too. A 0-0 game, you know, runs are at a premium in this game, which, I don't know, maybe that's the argument for holding him up at third. I have no idea. But when you got your 8 and 9 hole hitters coming up, man, send the guy. Thanks, Sean. You all have a blessed day. Go Stros. You don't need to thank me. I'm just pointing out an opinion. That's all. Did you all see Bregman last night? No, I didn't. This is the first I'm hearing this news. Bregman, apparently. Okay, I need to look this up. Was Bregman 5 for 5 with 2 home runs last night?
That's what I saw. I didn't look at or torture myself with highlights or anything.
So you'd seen that already before I read that text.
I saw it tweeted out. Yeah. Somebody ruined my early morning
with
that. I
was hyper-focused on Houston. Why did you do that, Texter? Why did you do that to me?
No, let's get back to looking at the AL in general and where the Astros are within 2 games of every other team in the American League right now. Nobody has more than 10 wins.
No.
And the Yankees, the one thing about the Yankees is that, yes, they've scored runs in droves at times. They're plus 20 or something in their runs for and against. But defensively, they haven't been nearly as good as the Astros. So it's wide open right now.
Yeah.
You know? Bregman's team included.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to call Bregman by name again until he comes back down to earth. Everybody knows he notoriously gets off to fast starts.
What?
Yeah, sure. Why couldn't you do that? Why? Yeah. What is it about Houston that you couldn't get off to a fast start when you were in Houston?
No kidding,
Alex,
man.
Bregman. You disgust me.
5 for 5 in a minor league park. Which one? The one the Rays are playing in or the one the A's are playing in? I don't even know who he played last night. Is Hunter Brown the ace of this team right now? He's the guy, right? Yeah. Like, if you got to win a baseball game, I feel way more confident in Hunter Brown than I do Framber right now.
Framber has had one more meltdown than he's been allotted for the pre-All-Star break. He's allowed one per half of the season. Yeah.
You already had your hole punched on your meltdown card, Framber.
This means after the All-Star break, you're not allowed any of these. That's I don't even want to talk about the playoffs, Framber. Yeah. So, listen, Hunter Brown's out there just handling all kinds of adversity and bad. There was a really bad missed call by the umpire last night, and you look at Hunter Brown's face, and it didn't faze him one little bit. And he just had some bad luck at times. It was the fly ball that dropped in between three Astros players. And it just, none of it fazed him. And he faced five lefties in that lineup, and he threw sinkers versus lefties for the first time all season. He ends up throwing 18 of them. His velocity is still up. Yeah, so far he is just mowing people down.
Yeah, I thought the thing I liked about the outing last night, I mean, obviously not giving up anywhere. He's got a 1.5 ERA on the season. Like, he's dynamite right now.
I don't want to get it. Like, I would prefer to get back to a point where it can be kind of like with Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander the 1 year, where like, hey, I don't care who the actual ace is as long as you got those two guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Numero uno and numero dos.
No,
yes.
I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. The thing I liked about Hunter last night is that early on he wasn't dominant, but he was able to pitch around some things and get out of trouble, not give up any runs. And he didn't strike a batter out until, I think, the closeout batter in the fourth inning. And then he went on to strike out three more over the next two innings. You know what I mean? So it wasn't anything where it's April, so I'm not worried about his arm being tired or anything like that. But that's signature Hunter Brown is, early on, you look at his first few fastballs, and it's 98, 97, 98. In the sixth inning, when he's finishing up, it's 98, 97, and 98. Like, he's somebody, there's no petering out with Hunter Brown, you know?
Right, and it's nice, too, because he said he doesn't have the command of his curveball this year. He's having a hard time dialing it in, but so he just... He adjusts by throwing sinkers versus lefties and just throwing a lot harder in general. And you're exactly right about his ability to keep it sustained throughout the game.
Yeah,
Gusto is going to get at least one more start. Are you more nervous? What are you more immediately nervous about, Framber and his recent performances, or Gusto and him getting another start?
Let's
say over the course of the next week.
I still
have a lot more faith in Framber.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued
for sure
by Gusto, but it's a work in progress.
Yeah, I'm not super nervous about either one, I guess, because Gusto, I know Gusto lost his first start. I thought he did a lot of good things in that first start.
I thought he did too, yeah. I mean, more than anything, this is a guy that's still stretching himself out to try to get up to 75 or 80 pitches.
Yeah, I thought in that start too, yeah, right. I was thinking about, Seth, you and I talking about Gusto before the weekend, and I think I remember saying, like, boy, if you get four innings out of him, because I think 75 was sort of the targeted pitch count for him. I'm like, if you get four innings out of him making his first Major League Baseball start, then you feel pretty good about that. And it looked in the third inning there like he wasn't going to make it four innings, and he ended up making it four innings.
Yeah, the fourth inning, too. I mean, he really battled his way through, as he's getting stretched out, a couple of dicey innings. So, as it is with all Astros, it's one of the things the Astros are still giving us is the ability to get really excited about guys that you hadn't thought about much before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Wisniewski.
Yeah.
Wisniewski was way better than, he allowed three home runs in that game, but otherwise he struck out 10 and walked one. Wisniewski, if I want to compare, since we're comparing everybody to Verlander in this segment,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Wisniewski, at the very least, he gave up solo home runs like Verlander would do.
Yes.
But was dominant when he had to be dominant.
How are you feeling about the Tucker trade right now, a tenth of the way into the season? How are you feeling? Paredes, Cam Smith, Wisniewski.
Okay, this is a tough one because Chandler Rome had the article a couple days ago where they pointed out that Arenado was basically scared off by the whole Hunter Brown ordeal.
By Kyle Tucker.
What did I say?
You said Hunter Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know. You might have meant Hunter Brown, but I'm like, I'm going to guess you meant Kyle Tucker because there's no ordeal with Hunter Brown.
By the way, it was a great headline by The Athletic because it was something along the lines of, Arenado says Hunter Brown says Kyle Tucker made him feel uncomfortable or something.
Oh, really? Like, he me too'd him?
I clicked on that thinking like, ooh, what did he say?
What did he say?
It was really just about the entire situation.
Yeah.
Bregman leaving, Tucker leaving, and there was a window of time in which Arenado was going to make his decision to either invoke his no-trade clause or not, and he just wasn't comfortable with all of it. As far as the Kyle Tucker trade, I'm still, especially seeing what happens with Wisniewski, and I think when Paredes is playing better than the box score looks offensively, his expected slugging is higher than his actual numbers and everything, I'm still feeling pretty good about it because of Cam Smith. Yeah. I mean, now Cam Smith's turned into a picture of consistency since this weekend.
Yeah, and he's been decent defensively too. Yeah. You know, so that's I feel okay about it. I know Kyle Tucker's been really good for the Cubs, but I mean that's the nature of a trade like that. Like, yeah, he's the best player in that trade, you know, like, yeah.
You know, and watching the Cardinals, it sounds like, you know, Jordan Walker, their right fielder, is a monster of a dude. He looks
a big dude.
He's the first guy off the bus in any sport. I would say in football, you'd still send Jordan Walker off the bus first because he is a large and looming human being. But he was a guy that was not good for them in right field last year as a 21-year-old, and has worked. Like, he's made some really nice defensive plays versus the Astros.
Oh yeah,
and you know, I think it's I feel better about Cam Smith and his ability to look even better. I think Cam Smith's more athletic than Jordan Walker. I feel great about Cam Smith so far.
I do too.
I don't think that makes me unique. That's not a hot take or anything.
No, I feel good about the trade right now. And Wisniewski might be the biggest X factor in all of it. Like, oh, okay. Like, if he can just limit the home runs, you know, like, Wisniewski has been decent so far. So.
Justin Verlander taught me not to fear the solo home run shot.
Right.
That's
right.
A sign of if anything, I look at it as like, oh, this guy knows and understands the circumstances. He takes he's aggressive when there's nobody on the base pass. He does, you know, you pitch strategically, damn it. More solo home runs.
That's right. Well, Verlander must be giving up more than solo home runs. We have a listener who is adamant that we mentioned on the air. He texted yesterday, too. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Hey, I hope you guys saw my message yesterday. Verlander's ERA is 6.92 right now. Like, this guy was texting yesterday. Hey, you guys mentioned Verlander's crappy ERA right now?
I don't know. Is there any? I mean, it's what you expect, and it's early. It's very, very early. I haven't paid attention to
it. I have zero Verlander FOMO.
And there's no part of me that's like, yeah, take that. We got rid of Verlander or anything. He's an aging pitcher, and this is what happens. A smart thing to do, especially when you're a team like the Astros, is where you develop young guys so well that, you don't hold on to Verlander. He can go off, and I hope for his sake that if he wants to pitch until he's 47, pitch until you're 47.
Well, he couldn't be more off the grid for the Astros in terms of his success infringing on their success. He's pitching for the San Francisco Giants, who you've already played. You're done with them for the year, and they're in the National League West. Like, he could go 21-4 this year. It's not going to affect the Astros at all.
I'm waiting for my baseball reference to load up the last seven games for Cam Smith.
Okay.
Because in those last seven games, he's had seven hits in seven games.
You know,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not even the hits, Seth. He's making better decisions at the plate. His judgment at the plate has advanced rapidly over the first month.
Well, and credit to them. Okay, so in his last seven games, he's batting .292 with an .846 OPS.
That's great.
As a rookie. That's his 7th through 13th game in Major League Baseball. And he went into last night with how many plate appearances at that point. He's very, very young. And over the course of the last week, you've seen very much the very best version of what you would hope for out of a rookie.
If he's .292 with an .846 OPS in year five, it's a good trade.
Okay, you know what the other good thing about that, though, is? Mm. Remember, we were concerned that, like, hey, how come he's not playing every night like you guys said he was going to? They gave him those two games off, and they worked on a couple things in terms of his approach at the plate, and they moved him a little closer to the plate. And it's been since that layoff that he is a completely different guy. He's just a much better and more consistent hitter already.
And he's played every day since that layoff, if I'm not mistaken, or close
11,
to
12,
it.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Yep.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So that's okay. So maybe I was a little hypercritical about the approach the Astros were taking with Cam Smith. Now,
you really were. You should have shut the hell up.
Now, Zach DiCenzo rotting on the bench is another thing altogether.
Yeah, okay, yeah, DiCenzo. I'm like, all right, can we get him some reps, please?
Because you said you were going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Nick Caserio meets with the media today at noon. We'll talk a little later in the show about what we want to hear from Nick. There's a high bar for Nick Caserio as far as GM press conferences go, though, Seth.
And Nick was a guy that, and still does have a reputation of a guy that gets up there and does a whole lot of GM speak, you know. And so it's interesting because every time we talk about the magnificent Gladstone, the GM from the Jaguars, people will say, like, hey, isn't Nick kind of like this? No, Nick.
Not like this.
If Nick were aspiring to be like the magnificent Gladstone, if he wanted to sound like him, he'd be falling far, far short.
Yes.
Because the amount of buzzword wizardry, the amount of just sheer talking when he's got the head coach next to him. When Nick and D'Amico are in a press conference together, both of those guys are very deferential to the other one.
Yes.
You know, they sit and they listen and everything. This press conference yesterday, the magnificent Gladstone occupied about 97% of the oxygen in that room. He sucked it all into his tiny little nerdy lungs.
This is not an exaggeration. It was a 26-minute press conference. He probably did. It's not an exaggeration, 90% of it. And for those who wonder who we're talking about, James Gladstone, GM of the Jags. Liam Cohen, head coach of the Jags. Liam Cohen, unlike the magnificent Gladstone, Liam Cohen is famous for just a one word. Yeah, just one word. Yeah, whereas Duval. The Magnificent Gladstone is famous for the pile of words he will bury you under. The first 15 minutes of this press conference yesterday, it's not an exaggeration. Liam Cohen spoke for 30 seconds, and it was about short yardage situations. That was it. Other than that, it was the Magnificent Gladstone. This was his opening statement yesterday.
At the end of the day, it's still familiar territory. You're talking football. And, you know, my mind remains rooted in a lot of the same things that it always has been. And I think you all will remember this phrase, but focusing our intention on intangibly rich human beings and allow that to remain our North Star. And making it so that, you know, it's very clear amongst our group that that's really what we're leaning into, and having everybody embrace that and feel that, it's been a joy. It's been fulfilling, and really looking forward to allowing those discussions to become reality. And we're not far off from that, but just like the players that are included in this draft class, right, their dream is to get drafted. And for those guys, that's about to be reality. And it's been fun to have that be the case for us personally, to see our dreams become reality, and, you know, working in tandem, it's been fulfilling. It's been a joy.
Okay. All right. You know what? This is what I do like about the Magnificent Gladstone. He's a dude who watches 3 TED Talks per day. I'm convinced of it, you know.
Yes.
He's a little too much in that world, I think, to where I think that you're trying to go above and beyond all the time. I think there's somebody like Belichick would just be like, just do your job. Just would you shut up and just do your job?
Yeah.
But I do like that for a guy who's a very analytically minded dude, he does seem to have a deep and abiding respect for actual human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Like that phrase, intangibly rich.
Oh, yeah.
Did he use it in that soundbite or not?
He did. He did.
He uses it a lot.
Several more times in the press conference. Get comfy, buddy.
I do think he seems like the kind of guy who's probably in that sweet spot where you respect and understand the analytics, but you also understand there's a human side to it that can't quite be measured. So I'll give him grudging credit in that regard.
Okay, well, we've got a couple more cuts from him here, so let's see if the credit stands. Apparently, the Jags don't do any top 30 visits to their stadium.
They don't have anybody come visit them. They just,
And that was a Sean McVay staple, evidently.
Yeah.
That you know, Gladstone was brought up in a system where they didn't do that at draft time.
Yeah, and the coaches don't go to the combine with Sean McVay.
Very hands-off when it comes to
Yeah, well, they try to keep
stuff.
I think they try to keep things as much as consistent as possible.
Yeah.
So they don't want to, like, overrate guys that they see in person versus guys that maybe they haven't met, et cetera.
Well, he talked about recency bias, too. Like, you meet with the last guy you meet with, that increases the chances that you're going to draft him. Meanwhile, the Texans' first visit 2 years ago was Will Anderson, and they traded the world to get him. But whatever. Why no 30 visits for you, Magnificent Gladstone?
So much of the work that's done in preparation for these decisions starts years in advance. And, you know, the sourced intel from those who have lived with these individuals is likely to be more accurate than me sitting down with a prospect for a short period of time and attempting to dissect who that human being is. And so I don't know that I don't view myself as having this extreme superpower of deciphering the complexity of a person in an hour, right? I would probably say I can work that in tandem, but there are other mechanisms that we tend to lean into to help us determine whether or not a player is in fact a fit for us. More than just a singular touch point that would be a
singular
visit.
Singular touch
point. We have a lot of additional mechanisms that we deploy that don't necessarily put us at risk for the rest of the world to know which direction we're heading as well, because so often
those become public
facing touch points, at which point you're sacrificing some version of strategy come draft.
That's his answer to why don't you have guys visit the stadium.
Look, I think there's 100%, there's a tendency to overrate interviews with people, face-to-face interviews. What people really do is overrate their own ability to assess somebody else in an interview.
Sure.
Interviewers have way more confidence than they should in what they can glean from an interview. So I agree with that. His belief that somehow they don't want to tip their hand by inviting certain guys, and they're going to lose a strategic edge or something. That's where this guy is trying way too much to sound like he's playing five-dimensional chess.
100%.
Because you know what it also means? Yeah. He's reading... Also, he's not reading too much into personal interviews, but he's definitely reading way too much into other top 30 visits.
Yes.
I think he's looking around the league and starting to get a feel for, he thinks he's gonna be able to game and diagnose what other teams are thinking. I think with a lot of teams, and I believe the Texans are like this, a lot of times the top 30 visits are when you just still have unanswered questions or there's things that you haven't had a chance to visit with. So you specifically want to be able to have, like, okay, we've met with the top five offensive line prospects, but we haven't met with the sixth guy. Let's be sure we meet with the sixth guy so we don't overrate those top five guys. Yeah. And just because of scheduling or whatever. The one thing about personal interviews that I think people that can be really, really good is the bad stuff. I think sometimes there's a tendency to overrate the personal interview and overrate your own ability to diagnose it. But sometimes guys will just let stuff slip where you're like, this dude's just a bad dude.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when there were free agency visits more often where marquee guys would go, like there'd be some guys who would come in on their visits and basically make it very clear that it was all about the money to them and like didn't even want to talk about football or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty easy to feel like, okay, you know what? This is a bad fit here. Like, this doesn't fit our... So I think you can weed out some of the guys that you know aren't personality fits.
Yeah, yep.
There's other things where, but you know, you got to be careful. Okay, sometimes guys are just introverts and they're not, you know, good interviewees, but they're not also basically saying like, well, I mean, oh yeah, there was that one time I killed a hooker. You guys found out about that already, probably, right? Oh, you didn't. Crap.
Oops.
Stupid me.
There's also a lot of conjecture out there that teams invite guys in part to interview them, but also to ask them about other players and things like that.
That's a mechanism you can deploy.
Yes.
To use the vernacular of the Magnificent Gladstone. Yes. He talks about sourced intel.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's a great point, Sean.
Thank you.
He's ignoring a chance to get sourced intel.
Sourced intel. It's yet another touch point that he could have in the process.
I mean, that goes back to the old, various quarterbacks where people have questioned their leadership ability.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that was so dumb about the Draft Day, the movie, was that all of a sudden there were questions about Bo Callahan's leadership and personality. Like, no, when you ask guys about their quarterback, and if they say, yes, we voted him team captain, yes, he was swell, all of those things, you're like, all right,
you can tell.
I'm not saying that the guy's a jerk, but he's probably not the same as when guys say like, oh my gosh, it was the fourth quarter in the Rose Bowl and our left guard was puking his brains out because he was so nervous and the quarterback grabbed him and gave him a pep talk or something.
Yep.
That's sourced intel.
That is sourced intel. text message.
That's a great point, Sean. I got to use that and so I got to steal that and use it.
You got it.
Interviews I you do elsewhere.
It. You got it. Text message. You know, everyone in that press conference is texting each other saying, is this guy serious?
I like that when he said, when he mentioned about the inability to dissect human beings, you know, for damn sure he wants to dissect a human being.
Oh, like literally.
Yeah, at some point in college, he raised his hand and questioned, like, should it be unethical to, should it really be that unethical to run experiments on humans against their, without their knowledge? I mean, realistically, for the greater good, I think personal freedom is overrated.
It is in this mode of operation with several touch points. Yes. This is the Magnificent Gladstone praising his scouting staff.
Something I appreciate more than anything is when an evaluator or a scout treats those moments like you're at the water cooler, like you're just having a normal conversation as a poor.
Okay, pause it, Ben. Pause it, Ben. What the hell does this guy know about a normal conversation?
And then when he's thinking about dissecting human beings, he's studying them and watching them.
Right.
And like a lion would watch the antelope at a water hole.
Yes.
He's sitting there watching a guy's at the water cooler.
In his mind, he's like, I could slice Trevor Lawrence wide open with this scalpel.
He's
right
the biggest
here.
Candidate to go up and awkwardly slap somebody in the butt because he's seen people do that in the movies.
Yes.
He's like, good job, bomb.
Yeah.
Very,
I just touched you on your derriere. That's my touch point. Right
now we
there.
Will build. We exchange oxytocin when I do that.
Right.
Yes.
Here's the rest on his scouts.
As opposed to this boardroom meeting. And our group inherently did that. They made it just a natural conversation. And they didn't just revert to their notes, but rather what they already knew in their minds because they were so prepared for that moment on their own. So that was a really cool moment for me to see our scouting staff walk in the door as prepared as I could have ever hoped for those initial conversations. I used the phrase being a fighter, not a fencer, right? Instead of having to put on armor, pick up a sword to fight, they simply just had to close their fist. They were ready for that moment. And I look forward to the rest of the conversations that we're going to have here over the next 9 days and see what else settles as the cement begins to harden.
Shot at fencing out of nowhere. What the hell? You got a toy. You know what? Yeah. You know what they're going to have? Just like here, we had that one guy that was really angry about any time we would bring up water polo with Holly Waring.
And we had the water polo defender. Yes.
There's some fencing enthusiast in Jacksonville who is irate right now.
Oh, yeah.
That he would downgrade. Boy, I got to be honest with you, Sean. If I were a Jaguars fan, I think I'd be all in on this. I like some of his metaphors. He's waiting for the concrete to harden, all that. The stuff when he's not in his buzzword lingo, when he's just in metaphor mode, I kind of like it.
You still follow Jacksonville. You got ties to Jacksonville. You pay attention to it. What are they saying about him there? Do they like him there?
So far, I haven't really... It's tough because with Bocelli's new in the role too.
Yeah.
So
he's drinking the Kool-Aid also. I watched plenty of Bocelli videos.
I mean, Bocelli helped hire Gladstone.
Gladstone's got him buying several timeshares right now.
Yeah, I think this is what, honestly, everybody I know in Jacksonville has been so beaten down by the recent years that I think there are people.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table. And Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances.
MIDI can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Feel a little bit refreshed, and they like the energy of Gladstone. I think that they're seeing a version of Tony Boselli where it's almost like he's becoming a fully actualized, like the guys, he's with the franchise that made him what he was and everything.
Yeah.
So I think people in Jacksonville, as far as I can tell, are pretty enthusiastic about him. Now, you know, some of the writerly types, the more cynical journalistic types and everything are kind of rolling. There's a little bit of eyeball rolling going on.
Yeah, there should be.
Yeah. People around the organization just seem to be, by and large, all in on this. I like that. I like that he totally has he is 100% scheduled water cooler meetings at some point.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Scheduled. He has scheduled spontaneity.
Yeah.
He's got it. He's got it in his daily schedule. Like at 9:37 a.m., we will have some scheduled spontaneity. I'm going to command everybody to go to the water cooler where we will sit around and chat it up.
I'm just picturing like human beings cutting short a meeting. Like, guys, sorry, I got to get to my spontaneous water cooler meeting right now. I got to cut this meeting short. Fencers don't wear armor, they wear jackets and masks. No, the fencers were not the armor wearers in that analogy. The fencers were, you know,
we're fighters, not fencers.
Right.
So he doesn't want to have to put on all this gear and everything. He wants somebody who's just going to go and slug it out.
Okay. Gotcha. I think so. I heard it a little bit different. Fighters have to put on armor. He doesn't want them to have to put on armor. Fighters versus fencers.
Right, yeah, I think he meant like a boxer.
Like a boxer? Like, oh, okay.
As
okay.
opposed to a fencer.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
I got you. I heard it different. I heard it wrong then.
Weigh in, text line. Who's wrong, Sean or the texter?
Yeah, I'll listen to it again during the break and just see if I'm
It's a lot of metaphors to keep up with when you're listening.
Yeah,
to Gladstone,
I blame Gladstone,
Sean,
for all this. You know, here's the thing, Seth. Here's the whole thing. I don't care. How's that for you? I don't care if it's the fencer, the fighter, the armor, the fist, or whatever. I don't care about any of it. Go die, you know, Gladstone. There.
You know who didn't want to bother with armor back in the day?
Who?
All the various tribes that the Romans would go in and slaughter mercilessly.
Yeah.
They would say, hey, you Romans with your stupid armor,
We
don't need that. That's for girly men. Ow!
This guy thinks he's...
Why are you stabbing me so much?
This guy thinks he's Robert California from The Office. He does. He's got a little of that James Spader thing going on.
He plays racquetball with his Rolex.
Yes. Yeah. All right, mock draft injection time. Field Yates, Mel Kiper Jr., 3-round mock. Who do they have the Texans taking? This would be a surprise on draft night if the Texans went this route on a couple of levels. We'll get to that coming up next. All right, the magnificent Gladstone has caused the controversy on this show with an analogy that he made that may have been awkward at best. I don't know. But here was the magnificent Gladstone. And Ben, maybe we play the whole cut just so people know that it's scouts that he's talking about. He's talking about collaboration with his scouts for the draft. He's got all the scouts in Jacksonville for the first time since he became GM. And now this next week, he wants to get opinions from them.
And it sounds like I had poor listening skills on this because because he was so stupid about how he said
Maybe
it.
I'm wrong.
I'm going to blame him for me being wrong.
We'll see. Well, let's replay it and then we'll be the judge. This is James Gladstone, GM of the Jags. We'll get to the mock draft injection here momentarily, talking about collaborating with his scouts.
Something I appreciate more than anything is when an evaluator or a scout treats those moments like you're at the water cooler, like you're just having a normal conversation as opposed to this boardroom meeting. And our group inherently did that. They made it just a natural conversation. And they didn't just revert to their notes, but rather what they already knew in their minds because they were so prepared for that moment on their own. So that was a really cool moment for me to see our scouting staff walk in the door as prepared as I could have ever hoped for those initial conversations. I used the phrase being a fighter, not a fencer, right? Instead of having to put on armor, pick up a sword to fight, they simply just had to close their fist. They were ready for that moment. And I look forward to the rest of the conversations that we're going to have here over the next 9 days and see what else settles as the cement begins to harden.
Okay, so maybe I'm right. So you're correct.
You were saying that he thought he wanted guys. You thought he wanted them to be fencers.
He used the word fight in there, which confused me. Instead of putting on armor to fight, he said fighter. I thought he meant put up your fist like with the, you know, with the, you know, the fist with the little sword in it, as opposed to being some sort of like warrior, like a warrior running to the middle of the field in Gladiator kind of.
Yeah, no, if he had been arguing that he wanted them to be fencers instead of like badass, like just, that would have been the dumbest one ever. So
he phrased it horribly.
Fighter, not fencer?
He phrased the whole thing horribly, that he used the word fight.
Yeah.
In describing the fencer.
Yeah, the fencer, yeah, that's where it got confusing.
Be a fencer, not a fighter. He should have said, be a boxer, not a fencer.
I liked he was giving his scouts credit for doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? These guys walked in here and they knew the names of these guys.
I thought the same thing.
And their various attributes.
He's praising them for knowing players. Like, that's their job.
Like, the bar is, he didn't want to ask one of his area scouts, hey, what about this Tyler Booker, that the scout didn't look down and say, Tyler Booker is an offensive guard from the University of Alabama.
I hate him so much. I hate him so much more right now after that, after wasting 4 minutes on this thing.
One of our listeners made a really good point, which is that if it does not work out for the Jaguars, if they're struggling, he will be very despised.
Yes.
He very much comes off like the smartest guy in the room.
I hate
every
him.
Time he talks, he's basically saying, well, the idiots do it this way,
right,
but we do it this way.
He's such a joke. Oh, yeah. God, I hate him so much.
We hate him so much more now. He's not allowed in Houston.
I hate him so much
more.
Right?
You see him at a Texans game, you boo him lustily.
He'll probably be in the press box for the game when they come here. Oh, I can't
wait. Be a fighter, not a fencer.
I can't wait. I don't even want to talk about that analogy anymore because of him. All right, mock draft injection time. Field Yates, Mel Kiper Jr., 3-round mock. Let's get to this thing. Mel Kiper, the godfather of the mock draft. Field Yates is among ESPN's draft brain trust intelligentsia. So let's get to the Texans here. This would be a surprising pick with the 25th overall pick. And Field Yates is making this pick. In this mock draft, he and Mel Kiper go back and forth making picks. Field Yates selects for the Texans, Seth, Tet McMillan, wide receiver, Arizona, with several offensive linemen still on the board, including Josh Connerly, Josh Simmons, Kenneth Grant, who's a defensive lineman who you like a lot. Tyler Booker doesn't go until 47th in this mock draft.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah, yeah. Tyler Booker's all over the place, and
all
I understand
over
why.
The place, man.
I mean, because the athleticism is going to freak some people out. I'll confess that I've grown more nervous about Tyler Booker's lack of athleticism as we've gone along in this. And yet, I think there's enough teams that really just love everything else about him and think that with technique and physicality, he can make up for some of that lack of athleticism, mm-hmm. especially on the interior offensive line. So I'll be surprised if he falls that far. Which other wide receivers were still available at this point?
Matthew Golden was long gone. Luther Burden was still there. Ibuka, I believe, was still there.
Okay.
So
with Tet McMillan, the biggest concern that I think a lot of people might have with him is that, all right, he comes off the ball straight ahead without showing a whole lot of shiftiness to maybe beat press coverage and what have you at the line of scrimmage. And I think Matthew Golden just has, you're splitting hairs here. But I think those are the two guys where a lot of different teams are probably half the teams might have McMillan higher than Golden and vice versa, depending on what they're looking for. Personally, I prefer Matthew Golden, but he wasn't available here. I guess the big question is, who do you think the Texans would prefer? Ibuka, who checks off so many swarm boxes, or McMillan?
Ibuka. I think Ibuka. Well, I mean, and McMillan has some elite traits, obviously, compared to Ibuka, but I think Ibuka, the professionalism part of it, like there's questions. I think it was Landry and Cody I saw first play a video of Tet McMillan saying he doesn't really love football. Now, that's a cut.
Saying he doesn't watch football.
Doesn't watch football. Sorry. I should be very clear about that. Doesn't watch football, which would imply the implication is that he doesn't love football because he doesn't watch football, right? I mean, that's what people are going to extrapolate from that. If you're inclined to downgrade Tet McMillan over that, you'd be like, oh, the guy doesn't watch it. He must not love it to the degree that we want guys to love football. I think Ibuka just feels more like a Texan than McMillan does.
Well, the big thing here, though, is that McMillan, for the most part, has been going in the top 15 for a long, long time. He's dropped a little bit on the draft boards, on the mock draft boards. So I feel like on the swarm trait part of it, the Texans probably don't have him as high as some of the other guys. And that's... But would they let him pass? Are people going to be PO'd if they let McMillan pass and choose Ibuka instead and feel... You know, one thing that people have said about Ibuka is it feels a little bit like a better version of John Mechie.
Yeah.
That, man, he does all these things at a big school and a big-time program, and he seems like he's polished in a lot of ways, but he doesn't have those elite physical traits. Mechie wasn't going to be a first rounder. Ibuka could be a first rounder.
Yep.
That's what makes people nervous.
Yeah, no doubt. The other three picks, we'll rapid fire these. Kiper with the 58th pick selects Anthony Belton, an offensive lineman from NC State who can play tackle or guard. With the 79th pick, TJ Yates takes Jared Wilson, who's a center or guard out of Georgia. And with the 89th overall pick, Field Yates takes Ty Robinson, defensive tackle from Nebraska. So, A lot of trench warfare after that first wide receiver pick, Seth.
Yeah.
Two offensive linemen, one strictly an interior offensive lineman, and then an interior defensive lineman.
So the one thing, by the way, the poll that I put up yesterday about whether Texans fans prefer an offensive lineman or a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. How did it end up?
That was, it ended up not as heavily as the early results, but still pretty heavily in favor of an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. 72% of the people who responded to my poll said that if they had to choose.
Yeah.
And the way I should have framed it is because I got so many annoying people saying, like, well, I just want the best football player available. Yeah. All right, if you had to choose between two guys that you equally like,
then
maybe Caserio has them graded evenly at wide receiver and offensive line in the first round. Like, so which do you want? Most people said offensive line.
There's no third choice. You were basically the guy interviewing Travis Hunter about if you can't play both ways.
Dude, I can tell the C students immediately when I ask a poll like that and you get this person who starts campaigning about how they don't want to abide by the rules of the poll.
Yeah, man.
Like, all right, you've tried to talk your way out of a D into a C so many times in your life that now it's just a knee-jerk reaction for you. Or I can tell if they're lawyers because they start trying to click billable hours and the discussion about why you should go best player available or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, tomorrow, our mock draft injection, a week out from the draft. The draft is a week from tomorrow. John Harris is actually going to join us. He did his mock draft on Football Takeover last night. So we're going to dissect his mock draft with him on the air with us tomorrow. And then he's going to stick around for another segment at 8 o'clock just to talk draft in general. So this time
tomorrow, I'm going to torch him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, we're going to blister him.
I can't believe you did this, you idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be sorry you came on with us, Johnny. I'll tell you that right now. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you into the 8 o'clock hour. We go. Jalen Ramsey's requesting a trade. There are from the Dolphins, and the Dolphins appear ready to accommodate him. The odds on where Jalen Ramsey could wind up, I think, show signs of Texans progress. I will explain coming up next.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.